All right, and a very good afternoon to those of you guys on the East Coast, and good morning to those of you on the West Coast. Welcome to this month's episode of the Align IT Manager Tech Talk series. Unfortunately, Ruth isn't available to join us today. You only have the pleasure of me today. And hopefully that's okay. It won't be as much banter as there usually is. And I will wholeheartedly miss Ruth. But hopefully she is out there and watching. She's actually out on the road, but hopefully she's watching and she's jealous of us having this time together without her here. But enough of me talking. Let's actually get to this month's special. And really, every time, every month, we go through a different topic and we try to hit the ones that are really relevant to you guys and the ones that are out there and causing you grief, if you will, and trying to find different solutions for you to get you that information that you need. So, having said that, and of course, you hear me say every episode, cloud is my thing. And so, finally, now that Ruth isn't here, I get an episode all to myself talking about cloud. But rather than focusing about features and rather than focusing about a specific technology, I thought we would focus on some of the myths and some of the issues that potentially you're worried about or have heard people talking about that you really want sort of resolution to. So today on the show, we do have a wonderful guest. This particular gentleman goes around talking to various different clients, sizes, and small companies, large companies, doesn't matter, about anything and everything technology, but really lots of cloud discussions these days. So I don't want to do his intro for him. I will get him to introduce himself. And actually, we're trying something new on the show this time. We actually have, for the first time ever on the show, a remote guest. He's actually coming to us live. I wanted to say satellite feed, but that's old technology anyway. Coming to us live from Ottawa, Mr. John Weigelt. So, John, thank you for joining us. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Jonathan. It's a pleasure to be here to chat about cloud and with the Cloud Canada guy.
Yeah. There you go. He even calls me by my name. He's done his research. I love it. Tell us a little bit about what you do. What's the day in the life of John look like?
Well, I have a pretty cool job. I get to live 3 to 5 years in the future, and I get to help governments avoid the unintended consequences of technology. And that means things like accessibility, making sure accessibility is in the technologies that are deployed by governments and by companies, privacy, security. And recently, we've been talking a lot about cloud computing and demystifying what's happening with cloud computing. Also help industry then understand how technology can change their business. What are those trends that are coming down the pipe that they should follow to transform how they do their business?
So then if we're going to that, then you know what? Let's just jump right in and kind of take it for what it is. You said myths, you said concerns. What are some of those that you're actually hearing when it comes to people who are questioning the confidence in the cloud or are assessing, yeah, this is a good idea or this is really a bad idea? What are some of the things that you kind of hear often from customers?
Well, the conversations that we've been having have been dramatically different than what we've had in the past. We have a lot of C-level individuals, so CEOs that are talking to us about the cloud. They see opportunity in the cloud. They see money in the cloud. They see a way to really innovate through the use of the cloud. And so when we talk about cloud, though, it's one of these nebulous terms. We as technology people appreciate all those different facets and variations of the cloud. But sometimes the senior level business people don't really appreciate that. And so the first thing that we have to demystify is get rid of the myths around cloud is just one thing. It's a wide variety of things. And our audience, I think, appreciates the fact that there is infrastructure as a service, platform as a service, software as a service. Then we look at the private cloud, the public cloud, the hybrid cloud, the composable cloud now is what we're hearing. And then finally, the consumer
So
cloud and the
many
enterprise
different
cloud.
terms for a cloud.
Exactly. I look outside and I see the weather and there's clouds there, and we can almost see that crosswalk between how the cloud in the weather terms refers to a lot of things and the same thing in the technology terms. I
And
think it's a
do you find that because there are so many different types of variations of clouds and definitions for that, that in itself takes away from the confidence in sort of, yeah, I'm going to go to the cloud, but I don't really know what that means.
Exactly. I find that's exactly the case. A lot of times people are first exposed to the cloud through consumer cloud services. And so being able to share your video online at a popular video site, when people look at the terms and conditions there, you know, they realize that, hey, those terms and conditions are specific to helping that consumer cloud service. When they grab that language and try to put it into the enterprise, all of a sudden they get really, really nervous. And there's quite a dramatic difference between a consumer grade cloud service and then what an enterprise would make use of, and right, your abilities, the ownership of data, all those things that are important as a business owner.
Okay, so you mentioned it, data. So we might as well start there, because I know that one is, you know, every time I'm talking about the cloud, first thing I get, data sovereignty. And the topic in and of itself can actually span a whole bunch of different areas. So what are you hearing concern-wise, and what are we, or what do you go and you tell people about data sovereignty to really, again, demystify the perceived issues?
Sure. So the first thing that I want to scroll across the bottom of your screen is the legal disclaimer. So I'm not a lawyer. I'm an engineer, but I worked a great deal in the policy world. I worked with Treasury Board Secretary in the federal government and understand the ramifications of policy. So the first advice is do indeed reach out to your corporate counsel anytime you're talking about compliance. So we'll start that off. The legal disclaimer gone. Really, I think there's a lot of confusion around what the law in Canada states. So first off, I think it's proper to put up front that it is not illegal to share your data outside of Canada, as long as you have appropriate safeguards. So that's the first thing. When we look at specific legislation in Canada, BC, British Columbia, has some pretty specific legislation if you're dealing with government-held personal information. Now, okay, you'll note there's a whole bunch of caveats around the specific types of data. If you're dealing with government-held information of the personal nature in British Columbia, you need to get the consent of the data subject, so whoever that data is about. And so even in British Columbia, if the individual consents to using that service, then you're able to use the cloud service and take advantage of that scalability, that worldwide availability of that information. And so that's British Columbia. And we look at Nova Scotia. They have a similar legislation for government, but deputy ministers can then approve the use of an internationally based cloud service. So that's another piece around, you know, hey, there are ways to get this done. For those in the financial industry, there's the Office of the Superintendent of Financial Institutions. That's a mouthful, but OSFI, and they have rules B10 around what information can be shared across the border. And for the most part, information can indeed be shared in international cloud services. The one restriction is for information that's material to the business, so things like letters of incorporation and that. And so there is a tight bounding of what type of data can be shared. So I'll come back to your question about data. And when we advise and talk to individuals about their data and use of the cloud, it's important to get very, very specific on the particular data, not just have a big lump of data, but say very, very specifically what data is in question.
And it's interesting because a lot of people do actually jump to the data issue as a showstopper. You know, there's this whole fear or I guess actually fear would be a perfect way to describe it around, you know, the governments and the Patriot Act and so on and so forth. So actually, having said that, I know some of the other concerns too is how does the Patriot Act kind of weave into all of this stuff? Do because of the Patriot Act, and again, this is, again, if we do your disclaimer of the little, what I'm hearing is fear from a Patriot Act perspective that, you know, folks say, well, if I have my data in, let's say, an Azure data center, for example, which is Microsoft's cloud platform, and that's stored somewhere in the States, well, then that automatically gives the U.S. government the ability to go into my data. True or myth?
So I think when we're looking at lawful access requirements, which the Patriot Act is one, anti-terrorism legislation, the CSIS Act being another one here in Canada, or we look at the United Kingdom for their anti-terrorism legislation, there have been laws on the books for many, many years, well before we see the prominence in the marketplace around all these named pieces of legislation around getting access to data and doing so with a warrant that can't be disclosed to the customer. And so when we look here at local service providers, the government of Canada can go in with a warrant and ask your service provider to serve up data that's in their custody and not be allowed to tell you. So that's been something that's happened in Canada for a long time, something that's happened in the US for a long time, well before Patriot Act, UK. So all nations have similar legislation. And so our sense is that organizations today are already having having third-party providers or taking advantage of other services outside of their organization. And so the way to overcome the risk or to be comfortable with the risk is to appreciate what you're doing today and then look at the deltas from there. One other challenge that we face is Hollywood-style scenarios. You can almost see Will Smith running down the street as someone's reaching in and grabbing this huge container of computers and following them down. And really, we want to avoid trying to dream up these fantastic scenarios that would never happen. I think when you start to look at how governments work with one another, the partnerships that they have for combating terrorism and like activities, there are other mechanisms that they would go through to make sure that, one, they don't get embarrassed on the global scene, and two, that the rights and freedoms of people in the nations that they work closely with are protected.
But and while we're on that, I mean, if there are those many concerns, or there are specific concerns around data, correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of the guidance out there is, hey, you know what, hybrid cloud solutions in this particular case is the way to go, right? Because in that way, you can keep your data wherever you want.
Well, exactly. And I think there's some great safeguards that are out there. So I think on the first part, the hybrid cloud solution is a great example. My favorite example is around what I call the composable cloud. Sometimes when we hear about hybrid clouds, we think of a workload that straddles two different environments, either the private environment or the public environment. When I think about the composable cloud, I come to the idea of a mashup. So think of a shopping cart application. And the shopping cart application has a couple of pieces that are that it's made up of. I think the first one is just having that wonderful experience of the full rich media, either having the clothing shown to you or that person walking down the runway or something of the sort. Those types of things are not sensitive. They require a lot of bandwidth. They require a lot of storage. Why right. not put that into the cloud? And then have your shopping cart, something that you've probably tweaked and tuned for a number of years, works within your existing data center, you know, bring that together on an overlay and mash that up. And so taking advantage of the best of both environments, protecting those things that are perhaps near dear to your organization or perhaps have policy considerations, and then serving up those other pieces in a place that's comfortable and quickly and easily to deploy.
Makes sense. And then, so if we just segue slightly away from data, different but similar, what about privacy?
Well, you know, with privacy, it's important that we implement all those privacy principles in Canada, CSA model code and those types of things. The great thing about how Microsoft delivers our cloud services is that we deliver them for a worldwide customer base informed by local policy. So I have the distinct pleasure of working together with privacy commissioners in Canada and sharing our thoughts with them, hearing their concerns, and building in those safeguards that are important to them. And so we don't simply say, hey, we're running this out of California. We're going to follow California law, take it or leave it. We do really have that informed process. We also share that information around how we deliver those services in a transparent fashion. And I'm quite proud of the Microsoft Office 365 Trust Center, the Azure Trust Center. It's a one-stop shop for all information around how we do that, how we segment the data, how we safeguard that. And should there be an incident, how we would work together with our customers to be able to share that information and remediate that.
And that's one of those things where you can, if someone does go, in fact, into the Office 365 Trust Center or the Azure Data, Azure Trust Center, that's documentation that's there that's sufficient for, let's say, your corporate lawyers or your counsel and stuff like that. It's actually, it's not, in as much as it's technical content, it is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it is the content that's needed to sort of clear you, if you will, from an organization perspective, to use the cloud or not.
That's right. In many conversations that I've had with organizations looking at the cloud, we sit down with their legal counsel. We hear where their concerns are, where they need their risk mitigation factors. We go through the trust center and highlight those areas that are important to them through the SLAs and the terms of use, which are all accessible through there. What we're also able to do for our customers is work through our audits. So our SAS 70 audits are shareable with the third-party auditors. And when we look at, for example, the financial institutions, they require that audit capability. In the past, they've often asked us for the private right to audit. Now, let's imagine that for a moment. We have tens of thousands of customers. You know, just trying to schedule them in for that data center tour to be able to go through everything, see how the cabling's done and things like that, that would certainly detract from the assurance level. So we have independent third-party auditors that go through against international standards, be it ISO 27001, SAS 70s, recently with the SAE 16, we're going through those audits, have those audits done and share that with our customers so that they can get the comfort level that they require to deliver the services.
Okay, and I hear you keep saying the word risk. And obviously, anytime when you make an infrastructure change like this, there's always some sort of both technical risk and business risk involved. And I know, obviously, organizations would, in fact, consider data a risk, privacy a risk, let's say security a risk. Any other risks that you're hearing about that are sort of prevalent in the people that you speak with that, you know, there are ways around or maybe ways to understand how that can actually be remediated?
Yeah, it's a great question. And one of the predominant risks that we hear from our customers that they want to safeguard against is availability. You know, certainly one of the myths out there is that cloud is all on the internet. And, you know, there are companies out there that that's their business model. They do nothing but public cloud-based services on the internet. And so that helps perpetuate that myth. Certainly we don't feel that way here at Microsoft. We believe that you should do cloud on your terms and be able to manage that connectivity when you require it. When we look here across Canada, we as Canadians, 90% of us are covered by wireless access, which is quite tremendous. But that's only in 20% of the landmass. And you can imagine that there's a number of people that need to be mobile. Perhaps you have a supply chain logistics fleet that needs to be connected. And so the ability to connect up and be able to synchronize when required is perhaps an important feature. And so broadband connectivity, having that availability when required is important. And then looking at how you manage the new world of disaster recovery. You know, in the past, disaster recovery had been, you know, warm standby site, cold standby site, or, you know, this geographically remote location. Now we see this mutual sites that serve up the service based upon almost a round robin type opportunity. And so, you know, trying to wrap your head around that new DR model is important. And lastly, I think when we start to look at, you know, that flexibility to move workloads throughout the cloud, one of the things that often comes up is, you know, what happens when my data, with my data, if there's a catastrophic failure within a particular region? And so we geographically distribute the workloads. And if the worst comes to worst, we're able to move that geographically in the globe if need be. But I ask all our technology and our business leaders to think for a moment, you know, what type of catastrophic failure would oblige us to then move things offshore? And you're talking about something pretty significant. You're talking the internet melting down, perhaps two cities burning. You know, we're talking really fantastic type scenarios. And so we don't envision that there will be a need to move things offshore. But if you have that requirement, then we're able to satisfy that availability of data by having the flexibility.
And now, do you find that a loss of control or a perceived loss of control of the environment? Because obviously, you know, as soon as you put stuff in the cloud, you don't have direct access to those servers, physical access to those servers, same thing with the data, so on and so forth. Do you find that that comes up a lot in conversations as a potential risk?
Yeah, you know, there's this change is seeing people perhaps have to readjust their work life. And so people in the past have had teams, whole teams working for them that were managing hardware. And now those individuals are asked to perhaps conduct other work and other roles on behalf of the organization. And so that control, that loss of control sometimes is made more acute by this uncertainty of what's next within the operation. We're seeing a great advance in the instrumentation, the application instrumentation, the amount of information you can get back from the infrastructure so that you can be comfortable about, you know, how do you troubleshoot your application? How do you get a sense of what's happening where? We heard from a CEO of, Newspaper Direct, a great Azure case study. And he
also
was
Canadian, right?
Also Canadian, right out of Vancouver. Fantastic story around providing 2,000 newspapers around the world, 198 languages, really fantastic use of the cloud and Azure services. But what amazed him was that when he took the burden of managing hardware off his developers, they blossomed. And he said that the creativity that came out of them astounded even him. And he was amazed at the new tools, the new capabilities, the new features they were delivering. And so that's the promise of unburdening your teams from this hardware shackle, let's call it, and allowing them to move that into the cloud.
But in doing that, obviously, yes. So there's the internal concern from a team perspective, you know, redeployment, if you will, or changing around what they're doing. From a business perspective, is that a risk, or you know, is it just something that because a lot of folks are used to the way that things have been, you know, this idea of simply the idea of not being able to touch a server worries people. Is that a legitimate risk?
So it is. It's a worry for a lot of the senior level IT people, the IT managers. If we think back to this explosion of email and how email has become more and more mission critical, a lot of senior leaders in IT have gotten to the board of directors because of that conversation around, hey, we have this mission critical application, we have this need to be able to communicate effectively across our organization. So you get the seat at the board of directors. If all of a sudden email moves out into the cloud, what are you going to talk about?
Exactly.
And we're seeing this transformation of the role of the CIO now to be that business enabler. And there's a great many of us in IT that enjoy that conversation about doing what's next, about innovating around projecting our know-how and growing our customer base. There are others that were quite comfortable in that space beforehand and doing the status quo. And so for those individuals, it's perhaps a little bit of a hiccup in this journey of life, but I think they'll find that building out that rapport with the business, driving business value, will actually benefit them from a funding perspective, from doing really, really cool things perspective as well.
So I'll be a little bit controversial here because that's what Ruth and I like to do on the show.
Okay.
And I'll put it out there. Tell me, I'd love to get your thoughts on it. Would you say that it's accurate to say that a lot of the confidence around the cloud and businesses moving towards the cloud, is it right to say that not, or the larger portion of the discussion is actually not even a technical discussion or a business discussion? A lot of it is around culture and just this idea of different. I don't want to say better or worse, but different. Is it a cultural thing, you think?
I think it is. I think it's a corporate culture. It's a, hey, we've always done it this way. Hey, we're a financial institution. This information is really important to us. Hey, we're a medical institution. We can never imagine moving stuff out in the cloud. Hey, we're a government institution. We're doing research. We're doing intellectual property treatment. Any number of excuses come up around this cultural question or this uncertainty question. And we found that over the last 2 years, I'd say 2010, 2011, a lot of the conversations that I was having with senior leaders were around that cultural conversation. And at times it seemed like they were looking for excuses to shoo me out of their office so that they could simply get their half hour back.
No, come on.
Well, at times it was that way. And actually, I've been there before as well. We're focused on the task at hand. We're not looking at upsetting the apple cart. Let's carry on. And I don't want to have that conversation.
Go ahead.
No, but now we're seeing that people have gotten beyond that. They've gotten beyond the initial fear and concern. And they're saying, no, I think that there's a place where I can go and help me then be more productive, be more efficient, and do, again, more cool things through the use of cloud technologies.
So for the managers that are watching and kind of getting their mind around, so obviously there are those that are already there, exactly how you said. They're there seeing the possibilities. But on the other side, you know, what can we do, not we as in Microsoft, but in general, for those that of us that are working with cloud already, how can we help build the confidence? Obviously, you know, you were talking about all of these different measures that are in place from a business and from a technical perspective, but, you know, how do we go about influencing this change, or as we called the topic of the episode today, building confidence in the cloud? From a cultural perspective,
that's a great question, and I wish there was one straight path to do for that. I like a multi-pronged approach to come in from a number of different angles on that conversation. I think the first thing is to have the conversation, and we've seen great success in moving to the cloud by CIOs that have reached across their community for those conversations. A great example is the CIO of University of Toronto. moving the student body, some 70,000 students, to cloud-based email. And so what he did was he reached out to faculty, he reached out to the academic staff, had a lot of conversations with the students, the privacy and security community, and his senior leadership, and brought that team together around, here's what we want to do, here are those safeguards, here are those concerns, and work through that entire process. And then he stepped the students through. So last year, at the beginning of the year, 7,000 students moved into the cloud. He gave choice to those students and said, you know, you can use this cloud service or you can use an existing email service. Only 20 students took him up on that offer. Of that, 16 continue to use consumer-based cloud services. And so those popular email services out there, they continue to use. The other four, well, they were transfer students, and they used the email from their previous university. And so you almost have 100% coverage and comfort with this cloud-type model. So that was a great approach to reaching and building that consensus across your organization and getting very, very crisp on what is that information you're dealing with. In Canada, we have some great tool sets, so privacy impact assessments, threat risk assessments. And so being able to go very, very detailed with what data you're dealing with and how that applies to your the CSA model code for privacy and the privacy commissioner's guidance. So it's important to have those pieces of documentation pulled together so that you can provide the evidence to those people that might perhaps be naysayers. And when I look at the privacy impact assessment, I think it's important that you look at your current state of operations. I know that it's often a great exercise to start with a blank sheet of paper. And I can imagine, you know, I'll use the example of the folks at General Motors thinking about that next generation of car. And then after they start off with a seawater-driven car that drops salt onto the ground to help us in our hard winters here, they realize, well, you know, that's kind of tough to do. And so they have to go back and look at their existing framework and the model. And I find that many Canadian customers, when they start to look at the amount of drop boxes that are used for file sharing, the amount of redirection of emails to other email services, other email hosters, the use of portable devices that have backups that go into the cloud, when they look at their current environment, they quickly recognize that the assurance level that they can get from an enterprise-class cloud service provider like Microsoft, all the layered security, all the attestations, all the policies, all the operations, far exceed the amount of security that they can put into their environment.
Right.
And the last piece is dip your toe in the cloud. You know, there are a number of trial offers that we provide for Azure services, for Office 365, for Dynamics CRM, that you can dip your toe into the cloud on a small workload, perhaps it's development environment, and then, you know, knock the tires to get a sense of, okay, this is the impact that'll have on my business. That'll help inform all those other conversations that you're having.
So, John, if I was to summarize all of that, and I think of the different prongs, if we kind of break it down to the one line, it's basically just cloud isn't one of those things where you could just go and read articles and research and whatever. It truly is a go try it, but more importantly, go talk to others type of technology, because you want to, it's one of those, I'll believe it when I see it, as opposed to I'll believe it just by reading. Is that accurate?
I think so. I think you get a lot of background around the reading. There's a ton of information out there from your cloud providers. Microsoft has everything at microsoft.com/cloud. And then from there, you can dive into the technology area, the policy area, so wealth of information there. But to your point around having those conversations with other people that are blazing the trail, and we're quite proud that here in Canada, we have a number of entrepreneurs and innovators that are building out their whole business in the cloud. Cloud is transforming how business is done, not just IT. So we're seeing that. We're seeing governments like the Ontario government move to private cloud and have their test environments and deliver shared services in that regard. So great evidence there from that community. University of Toronto is moving to the cloud, and you have great evidence there. And the individuals that are moving to the cloud are very, very happy to have the conversation with others, to share with them the pitfalls, what would they do first, what would they do differently, things like that.
So in closing, because we are actually coming to the end of the show, and again, if Ruth was here, she'd be my time cop, and she'd be like, guys, we've got to wrap up this awesome conversation. If we're looking to have those conversations, I'm a manager, let's say, for those that are watching, and I'm looking to have that conversation, is there somewhere where I can go and look and say, hey, who can I talk to, or forums that I can participate, conferences, anything like that around Canada?
You know, there's a number of those conversations starting up within the community. I think when we look at the Microsoft properties, the Align IT and TechWeb and places like that are great places to have the conversation. There are LinkedIn groups for those conversations as well around Canadian cloud and Canadian cloud best practices. So there's a number of those organizations. And then within the specific associations, we're seeing increasingly organizations like the Municipal Information Systems Association, which is a collection of municipalities across Canada, have a special interest group on cloud where they're wrestling with the challenges associated with interpretation of the law and winning over that culture within communities to be able to make use of cloud services.
Perfect. Well, it looks like actually, believe it or not, either we've covered everything, or the folks on the watching are quite quiet today. So that's fine. Oh, no. Well, I mean, it's one of those, like we said, we started out the conversation by saying it's one of those things where there's so much myth around it that you don't necessarily know what's true, what's not true. And so, yeah, I could see why there's no questions to ask. However, as we always say, you know, if you do have, in fact, questions as you're watching these episodes on demand or even right now, by all means, feel free to join the Align IT Canadian, sorry, I shouldn't even say Canadian, the Align IT group on LinkedIn. Tons of conversations going on there as well. Myself, Ruth, John are all there, and we can certainly take those questions from you. If you're the Twitter type, make sure you tweet to AlignITCA, and we'll get those, and we'll get those answered for you. Or, you know, just tune into the next one and ask your questions there. Either way, the more questions, the better. So with that, John, thanks so much for joining us. It's certainly been insightful for me, and I hope it has been for our audience. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Well, thanks, Jonathan. I appreciate the opportunity to share thoughts on confidence in the cloud. I really am amazed by the innovation I see happening across Canada in the cloud, and I encourage others to seize the opportunity to move to the cloud when they're able to.
Perfect. Well, thanks so much again. And again, for those of you who are watching, we will see you next month with a special show. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but it's slightly different than what we've been doing thus far. So until then, have yourselves a great month, and we'll see you next time.